Turn, please, to that psalm that we read earlier, to the psalm number 10. And with God's precious word open before us, let us bow together, please, just for a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before Thee, and we acknowledge that Thou art God, and that beside Thee there is none other. Father, we think especially today of the Patterson family circle, that Thou will comfort that family in their time of loss and bereavement. May they know the sustaining grace of God. And even those unsaved who heard Your word at the funeral service, speak on to their hearts and save them by the grace and power of God. We pray especially also for Sarah and Philip's wedding day on Thursday, that Thou would bless them on that special day in their lives. We pray that they might know much of the presence of God with them that day and in the days that lie ahead, and that Thou would meet their every need, and it might be a day of great joy and blessing for them and for their family circles. O God, we pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word, and just speak to us, Lord, even as we've been singing. Oh, that we each one might know and hear today that tender, sweet, still, small voice of God saying, I am with you. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, that we might know and hear that voice, not only today, O God, as thy people, but every day of our lives as the people of God. Speak now through thy word to the saving of souls, to the strengthening, the establishment of every believer on further in the ways of God, and to the glorifying of thy name. To this end, cleanse me in the precious blood from every sin and stain. Make us a clean vessel, Lord, fit for the Master's use. Pour out thy Holy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation, O God alike. Illuminate the sacred page. We ask for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for today is a little phrase that we find in the middle of verse number 14 of Psalm number 10, where it simply says, the poor committeth himself unto thee. The psalm before us, the psalmist speaks of a time when God's people were facing great oppression from their enemies. In verses 1 to 11 in particular of the psalm, the psalmist paints a very vivid description of the oppressors of God's people and God's church at that particular time. The oppressors of God's people were filled with pride and with wickedness. You see that in verse 2. And the psalmist says, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Such also lived without any thought or care of God. Look at verse 4 of the psalm. It says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And my such also, we see, had mouths that were full of cursing, full of deceit and unfaithfulness. Look at verse 7, speaking further of the wicked oppressor of God's people. It says his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud, under his tongue is mischief and vanity. We see also from verse number 8 that such sought the death and the destruction of God's people. The psalmist says, he sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. And then down in verse 11, we see that such thought, yes, the thinking of such was that their sins and their evil deeds and acts were unseen by God. That was their mindset. For verse 11 says, he hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. And by those verses, we see that it was a very dark and difficult time for the psalmist and for God's people at that season. But in such a season, we see also that the psalmist and God's people were not without help. For they had the Lord as their helper. They had the Lord as their friend. And by the psalmist, he expresses his confidence in the Lord by invoking the Lord's help and prayer at this occasion. Look at how he begins the psalm in verse 1. He's praying here to God, and he says, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? He's seeking God here. Look at verse 12 again. You see that further expressed. It says, arise, O Lord, O God. lift up thine hand, and forget not the humble. And then we see how the psalmist further expresses his reliance upon the Lord. In verse 14, in the words of our text in particular, when he says, the poor committeth himself unto thee. Yes, though poor and needy as he was, though living in a very trying time, he and God's people at that time were able to commit themselves and their cause to the Lord. And as it was with the psalmist on this occasion, so all God's people have the same wonderful privilege of committing their cause and their self and their burdens and their concerns to the Lord in prayer. No matter how deep the trial, no matter how dark the time might be, the believer has in the Lord his Savior, the Bible says, a friend who faileth not. Thus they can commit their way to the Lord and themselves to the Lord and all that concerns them. As is said in our text this morning when the psalmist says, the poor committeth himself unto thee. Now when you think of those words, you think also of a kindred verse over in Psalm 37 where it says to God's people, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. And all through the Bible, from Genesis right through to Revelation, whatever their circumstance, whatever their lot, God's people and the church of Christ are exhorted and encouraged and instructed from God's holy word to commit their way and their cause unto the Lord. And it is this thought of the believer committing themselves unto the Lord that I want us to consider for a while this morning. First of all, we can look today at the way that God's people can commit themselves unto the Lord. The way that God's people can commit themselves unto the Lord. Well, we can say that every believer commits himself to the Lord as a sinner to the Savior. You remember the publican in Luke's gospel who was saved, who was converted. He confessed his sin to the Lord. He trusted in the Lord for cleansing from his sin through the precious blood of Christ when he cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And child of God, this is how you and I were saved. This is how you and I were converted to Christ. My, we confessed our sin to God. We owned our sin before God. And we trusted in the atoning sacrifice of Christ to blot out our sin. And the Lord heard our cry. The Lord, he pardoned our sin. He saved our soul. And by the great promise of Christ to each and every one of us, and this is, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Today, as God's people who are saved, we can each say with the hymn writer, my Jesus hath done all things well. Let me say, if there's one in our meeting this morning and you are still not saved, you're still not converted by grace to Christ, then this is the way that you can receive God's so great salvation in your life and be converted in grace to God and to Christ. Oh, you must come to that point in your own recognition before God where you own and confess your need as a lost sinner to Almighty God. And with that confession, trust and rest in Christ's sacrifice, in his atoning blood upon the cross of Calvary, to blot out your sin, to save you from your sin, and to save your soul for time and eternity. Turn with me in your Bible, please, over to the New Testament book of Romans. Romans chapter number 9. And look at what you read there, Romans chapter 10, rather, and verses 9 and verse number 13. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear unsaved man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting this morning, that's a promise for you to rest upon. That's a promise for you to claim. My, as you call upon the Lord for the salvation of your soul and the forgiveness of your sins. Praise God, the Bible declares, God declares, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, every believer commits himself to the Lord as a sinner to the Savior. But my, we can also say this morning that the believer also commits himself to the Lord as a debtor to his surety. What is a surety? A surety is one who pledges to pay the debt of another. And over in the book of Hebrews, the Lord Jesus Christ is described and likened unto the surety of God's people. It says Jesus was made a surety of a better testament. Child of God, as fallen sinners before God, all of us have sinned. All of us have failed to keep the law of God. All of us have broken the law of God. The Bible says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. However, Christ was one who perfectly kept the law of God for us as our surety. Think of what Christ said at his baptism. He said, "It thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And he met all the righteous demands of the law of God. Thus, whenever we trust Christ as our Savior, we are accepted by God on account of the perfect righteousness of Christ, our surety. The Bible says we are accepted in the Beloved. And by that means, as God's people, we can commit all that concerns us to the Lord God in prayer, because Christ is our surety, because Christ is our righteousness, and God accepts our prayers, our petitions before His throne, through Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Yes, the believer commits himself to the Lord as a debtor to his surety. He commits himself to the Lord as a sinner to the Savior. But we can say something else this morning. The believer also is one who commits himself to the Lord as a client does to his lawyer. My, the Lord, we're told in the Bible, is the advocate of his people. In 1 John chapter 2 and the verse 1 it says this, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." In this life as God's people, you and I are not sinlessly perfect. We will only be sinlessly perfect in heaven. In this life, sadly, as God's people, because of that old fleshly nature within us that we will have until we leave this scene of time, we do sin against the Lord as God's people. And my, when that happens, Christ, our advocate, he pleads the merits of his blood for us in heaven. Thus, as God's people, we can never be lost. We can never be judged for our sins in hell, because Christ is our advocate, pleading the merit of his blood and his righteousness in our behalf. You turn in your Bible over to Romans chapter 8, and you'll see that for yourself in the words of Paul, as he writes there to God's people in verses 33 and verse number 34. He says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." What is Christ doing now presently at God's right hand in heaven? He is making intercession for us as our great advocate, our great high priest in the glory. Well, this is why the apostle Paul, the chief of sinners, could say, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Child of God, when you and I, yes, feel the Lord as we do day by day, because of that old nature that comes to us from Adam, praise God, there's one who prays for us, one who pleads for us at God's right hand, our advocate in glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God. Yes, we commit ourselves to Christ as a Savior to the sinner. We commit ourselves to Christ as a debtor does to his surety. We commit ourselves to Christ as our lawyer, as our advocate, but also the believer as one who is to commit himself to the Lord as a patient does to his physician when he is ill. You think of a person whenever they're ill and they go to see their doctor, the physician, they tell the doctor all about their illness, about their complaint, about their symptoms. Well, as God's people, when troubles arise in our life and trials as believers, what are we to do? We're to tell the Lord all about them in prayer. You think of Simon Peter's mother-in-law whenever she was ill. What did Peter do? And what did the rest of the followers of the Lord in that house do at that particular time? It says, and they tell him of her. They told the matter to the Lord. They sought the Lord. They committed her to the Lord in prayer. The hymn writer says, go tell it to Jesus. He knoweth thy grief. Go tell it to Jesus. He'll send thee relief. Peter, writing to God's people, says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Am I speaking to a believer in the meeting this morning, and there's a crisis in your life today, a circumstance that's a great burden, a great trial to you? Dear Christian, commit that crisis, commit that burden. Commit that trial to the Lord in prayer. There's not a problem in your life that the Lord cannot help you with. His great promise is, my grace is sufficient for thee. Then we can also say this morning that the believer is to commit himself to the Lord, as a needy man does to a bounteous friend. My, when a needy person has a rich and generous friend, what does he do in his need? He goes to that friend to meet his need. Oh, I want to tell you today, the Lord of glory is a rich and bounteous friend to his people. Remember what Paul said to the church at Philippi. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He knew the bounty of God. Think of what David said in Psalm 37. I have been young, now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. O believer, is there a need in your life today? Need in your home? Need in your family? Ask the Lord to step in and to meet that need. Turn back there to Psalm number 55 and look with me there at the verse number 22. Look at what the psalmist encourages you and I to do in our times of need. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Whatever that burden is, whatever that trial, whatever that circumstance is, you and I are not to carry it. We're to cast it down upon the Lord. We're to cast it at the Savior's feet, to commit it to the Lord in prayer. Oh yes, let us learn to commit life's burdens as God's people to the Lord in prayer. And then we can also say this morning that the believer is to commit himself to the Lord as a loving bride does to her husband. Now, the bride who loves her husband will entreat the wisdom and the guidance of her husband in every decision of life. And likewise, in every decision of our lives as God's people, as part of the bride of Christ, what are we to do? We're to seek our Lord for his direction, for his counsel, for his guidance in our lives as the people of God. You remember the counsel of the wise man Solomon, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Dear Christian, when you and I have choices to make, important decisions that maybe affect us, affect our family, affect our future, what are we to do? We're to seek the Lord. We're to commit the matter to the Lord in prayer. And we're to ask the Lord to guide us and to direct us through his word and in accordance with his truth. Maybe I'm speaking to someone in the meeting this morning. You have an important decision to make. You've been wondering, what am I to do regarding the future? Child of God, take that matter to God in prayer. Pray. Ask God to show you the way ahead through his word. And God will guide you through his word and through his providence and through his counsel. The Bible speaks of the Lord and says, as for God, his way is perfect. Someone has once said that God always provides light through every one of his tunnels. The psalmist could say of God, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're not to go to man. We're not to go to the world. You and I, as God's people, You and I, as part of the bride of Christ, we're to seek the Lord, His counsel, His wisdom, His guidance in our lives. Yes, our text this morning says here, the poor committeth himself unto thee. Child of God, commit your way to God, and God will direct you aright. Yes, we see some of the ways that we as God's people are to commit ourselves to the Lord. But secondly, this morning, as we move on with our text, I want us to see the outcome of God's people committing themselves to the Lord. Is it a vain outcome? Is it an empty procedure? No. If you look at the psalm before, you'll see that the outcome is always one of blessing. The outcome is always one of victory. Yes, through committing himself to the Lord here in this situation, the psalmist who wrote the psalm was to enter into great victory. He was to know a great blessing. Look at what he says following the words of our text in the latter part of verse number 14. He says, Thou art the helper of the fatherless. He experienced the Lord's help. He knew the Lord's deliverance. He knew the Lord's grace. He experienced that victory and that blessing over his enemies and over his oppressors at that time. Look at how he goes on to speak in the latter part of this psalm, and you'll see the note of victory. In verse 15 he says, Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his weakness till thou find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The heathen are perished out of the land. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine anger, thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. He knew victory. And child of God, when you and I commit our ways to the Lord, yes, we too will know God's victory. We'll know God's help. We'll know God's blessing when we learn to commit ourselves and our situations to the Lord in prayer. We'll know the peace of God in the midst of life's storms. The Bible says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed in thee. We'll know God's protecting power in our life. The psalmist says, The Lord preserveth all them that love him. You think of Corrie ten Boom this morning, a young Christian girl from Holland who survived all the horrors of a Nazi concentration camp. And this is what she said. She said, There are no ifs in God's word. The center of His will is our safety, our hiding place. My, as a young Christian, she committed her whole life to God and she experienced His protecting and preserving power. Oh, believer, the Lord is able to keep you and I in this ungodly world when we commit our ways to Him. Also, as God's people, we'll know the blessing of satisfaction and contentment in our life. You remember what David said in Psalm 23, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Paul the apostle could say, For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. These were men who knew what it was to commit their lives to the Lord. And even in dark, trying times, they had that contentment in their heart, that satisfaction in soul that comes alone from God. People, when we too acknowledge the Lord and commit our way to the Lord, no matter what's going on around us, we know that contentment that comes from the Lord. We know that satisfaction that is found in Christ. And also as God's people, we will know the blessing of God's victory in every trial and in every enterprise that we engage in for the Lord. Turn with me back, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And look here with me at this account in the life of King Jehoshaphat. His back was against the wall. The enemies of God and God's people were all around them. And what did he do? Did he turn to man? No. Did he turn to himself? No. He committed the whole cause to the Lord. And look at how he commits it to the Lord. And 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 12. Look at what he prays. He says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Look at this. But our eyes are upon thee. His eyes were turned heavenward. Look at verse 15. Here's the answer he gets back from the Lord's servant, from God himself. And he said, "Hearken ye all, Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Look at verse 17. "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you," the promise of the Lord's presence. Then look at verse 20 and verse 22. It says, "They rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established, believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper." And verse 22 says, "And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come out against Judah, and they were smitten." God gave him victory. By committing the whole matter to God, Jehoshaphat experienced a wonderful victory, a wonderful time of blessing. Child of God, may you and I follow the example of Jehoshaphat there. In all the trials and adversities of life that come upon us, and in all our service and enterprises for God, let us be those who seek the Lord, who commit ourselves, our way, our cause to the Lord. Oh, may this be our testimony, even as we think of ourselves as a church and as a congregation, as we would soon enter into the autumn season of the work here. May there be that fresh giving of ourselves to the Lord in prayer, that fresh committing of ourselves and our work and our witness earnestly, deliberately, unreservedly, and wholeheartedly to the Lord in prayer. James says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." What was the testimony of the psalmist in his time of great trial and difficulty and oppression? "The poor committeth himself unto thee." Brethren and sisters in Christ in our meeting this morning, my prayer is for each and every one of us that this too likewise would be our testimony, individually as a people and collectively as a congregation, that in every circumstance and situation of life we might learn to follow the example of the psalmist and commit our ways, commit our cause to the Lord of glory, to the Lord of glory.